You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchathon of Rassilon.
That is what you are currently listening to, correct?
Cool. Today, we're going to be talking about the sixth serial of the 18th season of Doctor Who, the penultimate Tom Baker serial, The Keeper of Trakan, which consists of four episodes that aired from January 31st, 1981 to February 21st, 1981.
Joe Fax!
And I want to give a special shout out to Steve Conway for sponsoring this serial.
Hey, thanks, Steve.
You can check him out on 8radio.com. Also, again, I just want to point out he's an actual sea radio pirate. Person. Radio Caroline. Check him out. He's really cool. And joining us today, returning guest, Barrel of Legs, Ben Patton.
Hey! Yay. Inexplicably, I have returned.
I always feel like there should be applause.
I should point out, I actually wasn't invited this time. I just kind of barged my way. You guys were not going to have a guest. And I saw you were online. I was like, guess what I'm going to do? That's fiction, ladies and gentlemen. None of that happened and variations thereupon. That did not happen.
That's one of your, that's your first faux fact.
I'm all about the faux facts. The most recent faux fact for listeners of your podcast is that I've been lying about my gender for the last 33 years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, I recently came out as non-binary. I made some realizations about myself. I'm now using the pronouns they, them. So if you want, if you're writing any critical analyses of this particular podcast and you need to lampoon, lambast, or otherwise lampshade my inane comments or banter, if you're going to insult me, use the correct pronouns, please.
If we fuck up, please let us know and we will correct ourselves.
Absolutely.
Not just about pronouns.
Just generally. About everything.
Right.
Just Doctor
just
Who.
Yeah. If you could actually just follow me around and be like,
Tony, don't do that. What are you doing?
Actually, you guys have been, this is how many episodes of the podcast you've done now?
150.
You guys have actually, and I hate to say this, so I really wish I'd corrected your previous appearances, but you've gotten a very fundamental fact about Doctor Who and its production very wrong, and I feel like now is probably the time to address it. You've been referring to it as a BBC show. It's not actually made by the BBC, it's made by the ABC, the Australian Broadcast Corporation. It's an Australian sci-fi. It's all right, it's not your fault, it's a pretty common mistake, and it's one of those things that's been said so many times that it's kind of, it's an assumed truth. But yeah, Doctor Who has been, it's an Australian show. It kind of made its first appearance in Australia. William Hartnell, or Billy Hartnell, as they call him, was a Canberra lad. They would film it, shoot it as live, like a live taping in Sydney, Australia, at the same studios where they now shoot the soap opera Neighbours, if that's of any interest to you. So that's something that I just wanted to make sure, because I know that it's one of those things a lot of people get wrong, and I just wanted to make sure that you guys don't, you know, keep sticking your foot in it. And I'm glad that we finally had this opportunity to self-correct, to pivot towards fact.
So we've been watching Farscape all this time?
Yes. Ben Browder was in both. That should have been your first hint. Also, Kylie Minogue.
Farting aliens, also.
That's Australian. Except for the spin-off, that canine spin-off series they did, that's French.
And the TV movie was...
Well, that was an America-Canada co-production between Universal Fox and the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, obviously.
And now it's all under Disney.
Disney bought all media earlier this year, so yeah, it's all Disney now.
Speaking of, this podcast is now a Disney Plus original. All hail the mouse.
Yes, all hail.
How is your mouth?
It's good. I have about $3,000 to $4,000 worth of dental bills that I'll be paying off slowly for the rest of my life. I have antibiotics. I'm having a cavity filled on Tuesday, and I'm having all of my wisdom teeth removed at some very soon, hopefully this month, because I'm going to England in December and it'll be difficult for me to do it while I'm there because my dentist in the UK doesn't take my health insurance. So we'll see what happens. In hindsight, what I should have done is scheduled a 3-week trip out to the UK, got my wisdom teeth pulled day one, and then just recovered in the UK, and it would have cost me about $67 plus tax instead of $3,000.
Fuck.
We shouldn't have to either set up a GoFundMe or hope that we bump into Keanu Reeves at the parking lot outside the Vons to get medical care. Like, this country is absolutely janked up the wazoo when it comes to health insurance.
My dad just had a heart attack, so...
Just now?
Also, yeah, he just texted me.
Wow!
I should probably stop podcasting.
Do you need to go?
I'll be fine. But yeah, the medical bills are so... stupid.
How is your dad doing?
He's actually better because
he's taking better care of himself.
They've gotten rid of the blockage, and he's like, I actually feel better because like my heart's not all stopping constantly. The doctor was very like excited to tell him how close he was to dying.
Hey, good news.
He's like, I have seen this so many times, and they've all died. So that's how close you were.
Your dad has played death in a number of your various film projects, right? So is it possible that your dad has adopted the method of acting?
I think so. I think that's also he's got an in with the guy. So he's like you know what?
Death just showed up and was like, nah, he's
cool.
Not today,
he's cool. He's the only positive representation of me I've seen.
Okay, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to get close to death. I'm going to get some one-on-one time with death. I'm going to ask him some questions. And that will inform my performance going forward.
You guys want to talk about Doctor Who?
Yeah, let's talk about Doctor Who.
All right.
So much of this is going to get cut. There's just going to be like a needle scratch sound and then just us going, let's talk about Doctor Who. And people are going to be like, what the hell just happened? Nothing. It's fine. We didn't talk about the Australian ownership of Doctor Who. We didn't discuss heart attacks. We didn't discuss Keanu Reeves' health insurance plan. None of this came up. Let's talk about Doctor Who, the Australian science fiction comedy series. Oh, it is shot in front of a live studio audience. That's the other thing. And the reason that you can't hear the audience is because they don't think it's funny.
I certainly don't. Let's see if you guys think my titles for this episode are funny.
I won't.
I tried to make them all puns this time. I don't know why. Or dumb jokes.
Is that not what you normally do?
The keeper of crap pun.
Well, sometimes I just do the blank of blank when I'm feeling lazy.
I gotcha.
That's not always a joke.
All right, what do you got now?
Okay, so let's talk about the keeper of Trocken. Keep on Trocken. Episode 1, Foster Care.
Okay.
That's what I got.
Continue.
Well, I will do the other ones when we get to them. Do you have any titles?
The Sofa of Reasonable Comfort, on account of the thing the Keeper of Trocken uses to flit around space and time. It's a very nice looking chair.
You know, that's got to be the best acting gig. He just sits in a chair and gives like a very low energy read of the character.
Yeah.
We need you to be tired. We need you to be sitting. We need you to spend 1 hour in makeup beforehand. I'm in.
That sounds sweet to me.
It's a good gig.
It's only better if he had snacks.
Oh yeah, there's a little flap on his forehead from the makeup. You could just fold it out and Chex Mix would pour out and he'd just go, just stick his tongue out. Nom, 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 nom. Brilliant.
So how does this episode start? I wasn't fully paying attention. So
I go off of your notes to do the podcast. So.
Yeah, that's bad.
Ruh-roh. Now, as memory serves, because usually when I do the show, I have the TARDIS data core wiki entry up in front of me, and I don't have that. I should have it, so I'm going to do that right now as we're talking. But as memory serves, the Doctor and Adric are in the TARDIS. Adric's being a shitty little know-it-all, and the Doctor's like, stop being such a shitty little know-it-all. And then they discover that the TARDIS is heading... They're back in N-Space, because they've just been in E-Space for 3 entire serials, and they're back in N-Space, and the Doctor's all, be it ever so humble, ha-ha-ha-ha-ha, oh look, there's Trocken, I should probably go there someday, oh well, and Adric says, actually, we're already going there, you must have set the controls. And the Doctor said, well, I didn't set the controls, you must have set the controls. And Adric goes, I don't know how to set the controls, you must have set the controls. And the Doctor goes, did I set the controls? And so at this point, Adric is gaslighting the Doctor.
Somebody's gaslighting somebody, for sure.
And then the Sofa of Reasonable Comfort materializes inside the TARDIS. The chaise longue of Trocken materializes, on which rests doing his best French girl pose, the Keeper of Trucken, who looks like an old conehead.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
That's accurate. And his whole thing in this whole scene is just to narrate a tale.
Some exposition.
It's the kind of thing where if this were like Krull or Blade Runner, this would have been slow-moving, scrolling text just going up. White text on a black background. The Trucken people have a special relationship. They have the source of energy. No one cares.
He basically has a PowerPoint that he shows them. He's like, anyway, that's what this episode's going to be about. Okay, bye.
He does his TED talk.
This mission, if you choose to accept it.
His whole thing is, Trucken is so good. Anything evil lands here basically calcifies and then melts and it's fine. We've never had to deal with evil ever. But when something shows up and it starts to calcify, obviously that causes us distress. We don't do anything about it, but we do like to leave flowers at the feet of whatever the fuck, because why not? That's our focus. We're not going to stop the suffering, but we are going to make sure it smells nice.
We are also going to talk about how sad it makes us.
And how much we pity you for being evil, and we wish we could do something.
And there's this one statue called the Melkor, which looks like an art college student's attempt to build a kind of artistic reinterpretation of Jafar from The Lion King, and it doesn't quite work.
Do you mean Aladdin?
I was wondering if you were going to let that go.
No, it's Jafar from The Lion King. He's in the background of every scene, and you can only see him on the 4K or UHD version. The Lion King, available now on Blu-ray, 4K, and UHD. Check your local retailers or purchase from Amazon.com.
Sorry, we're a Disney Plus podcast, so can't mention Amazon.
Too late, I already did. What you going to do about it? Nothing. There's nothing you can do. There's absolutely...
Man, that's a joke that's gonna play real well for the listening audience.
That joke only worked. That joke was just for you guys. It's just for you. I muted my microphone.
Take that, Ben Patton.
Yeah, take that, me. Take that, past me.
The Melkor is tended to by the Fosters. Those are the people that take care of him. And one of them,
for such a like peaceful, nice society, they do have like a very rigid class structure,
and also a very like black and white binary approach to good and evil. Like, oh, you'd be able to walk around this courtyard if you weren't so evil. Like that's almost exactly verbatim dialogue that Cassia, the young girl who is sent to kind of tend to the Melkor, says. Like, oh, you could go for a little stroll around the park. You could stretch your legs a bit, but you're too bad. And that's exactly what she sounds like. It's a very good impression.
And then because women go for the bad boys, she sort of like develops a weird connection with him. That, I'm just saying, that's what the writers thought.
That's a trope. I gotcha.
It's a trope. It's not true of real life, but it's true in fiction, like 95% of the time. But yeah, she develops like a weird, like, sort of obsession with him. Like, she's constantly checking on him and stuff. But she also is now getting married to a guy named Tremus. And this is where my troubles start with this. Not my troubles, like the...
Wait, okay.
Gentle listener, you cannot see Joe's face as he says, as he said, and then immediately reacted to himself saying the word, Tremus.
We're watching the first episode, and after like a little while of like Tremus being on screen, he goes, that guy looks familiar. I start laughing, and he's like, what? And I was like, nothing, just keep watching. You'll figure out why he looks familiar in a bit.
And then I did. And then I was like, fucking Tremus! God damn it!
Yes, you've made the realization we've all made, which is, of course, that Tremus is to trees as Christmas is to Christians. Trees like to get together every year around the solstice to spend time with their families, exchange gifts, have too much to eat. Tremus.
The Ents. That's their holiday.
Tremus.
In that classic novel, Chronicles of Narnia.
There are Ents in Narnia.
Are there?
Yeah. They're not important. They don't do anything.
Just hang around in the background?
They're just there. You cut to some horny trees and then you cut back to beavers arguing with Lion Jesus or whatever the fuck happens in those books.
That's pretty much it. Okay, but for real though, Tremus is an anagram of master. And so I was like, okay, so he's the master. But throughout the rest of the serial, I was like, I don't understand. He's the master, right? His name is Master. Why isn't he doing evil things? What's his plan? The whole time I just kept going, what's his fucking plan? Because I knew it was Anthony Ainley. I knew he was the master.
You were expecting him to pull off the beard and go, ah ha ha, tis I. But no. The thing is, we watch this. We are watching this now in the year of our Tree Lord, 2019. Now, 2019, apart from being the sequel to 2018, which, like most sequels, is not as good as the original, and 2018 was pretty shit to begin with. But the key thing you have to remember about 2019 is we have the benefit of hindsight. We know Anthony Ainley is going to be the master. Imagine watching this as it goes out in, I'm going to say, 1981. And you don't know that Anthony Ainley is going to be the master. That character's body is going to get possessed to become the master at the end. That's the kind of mindset you have to approach this story with. Not as, oh, this is Anthony Ainley's debut as the master. Because really, his debut as the master doesn't happen until Logopolis, which is the next serial. This serial, Anthony Ainley is playing a very different character. In much the same way that Freema Agyeman played that one character at the end of season 2 and then played Martha.
I think even with this like hindsight, I still didn't know what the fuck was going on. And like there are definitely like hints and stuff. His name's fucking Tremus, for one. There's like clues that make you think, oh, he could be the master.
Oh, yeah, the Doctor definitely asks Tremus if he has a copy of the Master Plan at one point.
And even still, it's like the show is mocking me, and there's one point where someone says something about Tremus, what's in a name? And then it's like, it's Master, that's what's in a name. I see what you're doing, show. But they don't do that. It's not the Master. So, I don't know. Why would they name him Tremus? It doesn't make any sense. Like, if it's the Master putting on an alias, that makes sense, because that's how dumb he is that he just makes anagrams of his own name, or title. But like, just, it doesn't make sense that this random character is
happens to be Tremus.
Yeah.
It's just a writer having some fun.
I guess so. But, like, the whole serial, I was just very confused. So, okay. So, back to the plot. Cassia is getting married to Tremus. They are all drunk. It's all delightful.
Cassia keyboard.
It's very fun to watch other people being drunk and happy.
Oh, yeah. That was great. That wedding sequence was a lot of fun.
And the keeper arrives to bless the marriage. We also meet Nyssa, who's going to take over watching the Melkor and all that stuff.
That's for a great outfit. I mean, everybody has a great outfit with, like, great big puffy sleeves. Mm-hmm. And, like, fancy dresses, but I particularly like hers.
Enjoy them while you can.
Okay.
The end.
That sounds ominous.
Because of, you know, the mortality of our meat vessels. We're all gonna die someday, so enjoy the dresses while you're able. Also, maybe they only appear in this story and then one more and then they're gone forever. I'm just not going to spoil anything for you. But
that's another thing that I knew going in. When I saw Nyssa, I was like, oh, I've heard that name before. I know she is a companion.
She's coming with us at the end of this episode.
Nope. So there's a lot of, like, it feels like they are sort of, like, fucking with my expectations as a viewer from the future.
Specifically to dick with 2019 Joe Heath.
Yes.
That's what they're writing. Like, yes, this right. You're going to expect all these crazy things, but no. That's the accent of the writer, because that's what all writers sounded like in 1980 and 1981.
This right.
Johnny Byrne.
Johnny Byrne is also what my doctor diagnosed me with when I told him that it hurts when I pee.
Johnny Byrne is the name of a really cool surfer. From the 90s, specifically.
And it also burns when he pees. What else has Johnny Byrne done? I'm suddenly interested in Johnny Byrne's writing career with Doctor Who. He wrote Keep of Traken, Ark of Infinity, Warriors of the Deep. One of his unmade scripts got adapted as a Big Finish audio called The Guardians of Prophecy.
Any of those good?
Yeah. He wrote two Doctor Who movie scripts that never got made. One was called The Time Lord in 1988, and another one in 91 called Last of the Time Lords, when the BBC were trying to raise funds to make a Doctor Who movie that never happened.
Interesting. I wonder if those scripts are available somewhere.
No. Or possibly yes.
We will never know. Johnny Byrne, if you're listening, if you're not dead, please send us your scripts so we can review them for our podcast.
Sure. Why not?
Yeah. We're all under the big Disney Plus umbrella. We're like family.
Oh, he won't be able to respond to that. He passed away on April 2nd, 2008. Sorry, I didn't read to the end of the article.
The Johnny Byrne Estate, get in touch with us. Back on the TARDIS, the Keeper wraps up his story and mysteriously disappears. And says, well, take care of this shit for me. Bye! I'm gonna be dead soon.
That's how I that's also another thing. Rooms.
He's running out of energy, right?
Yes.
Cassia goes to say her final goodbye to Melkor because she will not be taking care of him anymore. And she also, like, says everything she's worried about. And that she's worried that Tremus, because he's going to be the next Keeper, she's worried that he will be taken from her soon. And then the Melkor just goes, soon. And then she's like, you could talk this whole time? A talking Melkor?
Yeah, why not?
Question, did they name it Melkor?
They have like a whole bit about what it roughly translates to. It's what everyone who gets like calcified there is called.
Like a fly in honey. Fly trapped in honey. Not like honey dipped flies, which are a separate delicacy on Trakan. Also, I played bass for the honey dipped flies in college, and we did not do many shows.
Then the next day, one of the Fosters has died, mysteriously. Everybody's checking it out, and Tremus has a little handy-dandy piece of technology and says that the power readings are off the charts, and that someone is taking control of Trakan. And I also thought, oh, this must be one of the Master's, like, little gizmos that he has. Nope. I'm just wrong on all accounts. And then the Doctor and Adric read some old books about Trakan.
His old journals.
Yeah, the Doctor's old journals. And Adric is a little shit and critiques both his prose and handwriting.
You know the Doctor's handwriting is shit.
I like that, though. He's like, and this handwriting's like, what about it? And he's like, it's perfect. I've heard people say that Adric is not a great character, but so far, I've not minded him too much. Though I've heard he gets worse with 5. That seems to be the general consensus. But so far, I've only wanted to punch him maybe once. Maybe twice.
He will become more punchable as time progresses.
And then he gets the ultimate punch. I know that.
The ultimate punch!
The ultimate punch.
Oh no.
To death. Cassia meets with the group of people that rule and says that she wants to arm the Fosters because one of the Fosters died in the garden. And she's like, let's give them guns. That's the solution to everything. More guns.
Why do they even have guns?
You know, that's a good question, because they don't have evil.
If this is like a perfect harmony, great civilization stuff.
Well, I mean, they don't have guns, so they want to have guns, though, because stuff is happening. And they're like, we've never had this before, we must immediately jump to violence. And they're like, well, they don't know what to do, so they vote to summon the Keeper.
Who's that guy? It's that one guy.
And also, one of the consul members, his name is Luvik. He's my absolute favorite. Because they're having all these conversations about, like, politics and what have you. And he just constantly goes, I don't understand any of this. I can't follow what's going on. And that's me watching Doctor Who.
Yeah, that's fair.
The only serial I've been able to follow this entire season is Warrior's Gate. And I don't know how that happens.
Well, that's because Warrior's Gate is a masterpiece. Warrior's Gate is a phenomenal piece of storytelling. This is hot wax.
I feel like sometimes it's harder to follow more generic plot lines because they're boring. Bored. Yeah, and it's like, oh, I just zoned out. But whereas Warrior's Gate is like maybe less clear in its plot, but it's more engaging. I'm just gonna keep mentioning Warrior's Gate because I loved it so much. Anyway, the Doctor and Adric have arrived and they've been pretty quickly caught by guards and whatnot, and are brought to the consul, and they're like, we were sent by the Keeper, we've come in the TARDIS in a ship, and they're like, well, let's go check the TARDIS. They send guards to go look at it to make sure he's telling the truth. Then we get a shot of Melkor, whose eyes turn red, and he laser zaps the TARDIS with his eye beams,
and he makes the TARDIS explode in a very expensive, no, it just disappears, it just there 1 minute, gone the next.
And this does not look good for the Doctor, because they come back and say, there is no ship. So they summon the Keeper. Melkor shows up and is like sneakily looking around the corner of the door like he's a Scooby-Doo villain.
He's like, behind like, hello, like, and the Keeper sees him and yells about how there's evil. Evil is here. We're being invaded. There's so much evil. And everyone thinks, oh, well, clearly they're talking about the Doctor because there's no one else here. And the Melkor's like, just kind of lurking over the side of the door.
And then they just hear scraping noises as he quickly runs away.
And that's our first cliffhanger, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's the things do not look good for the Doctor.
And then he dies. They killed him straight up. It's actually pretty impressive.
And now we're into the fifth Doctor. So quick. We're now into episode 2, though, which I have called Bad Rapport.
Okay.
Because there's the whole rapport thing that one of the characters has to do. And it's a bad joke. I told you it's a bad joke.
They're all bad.
So the doctor says, hey, I'm not evil. Something clearly was attacking the keeper, and that's why he disappeared. It's not me. It's something else. We need to figure it out. And then Cassia says, they are so evil, and I'm going to just be so dramatic that I pass out for no reason. She literally just dramas too much.
It happens sometimes.
And I will say this, this is not even the wildest thing that is going to happen to her in this serial, because there will be several points later, and I don't want to spoil it for listeners, but she's just going to have her eyes closed, and it will be the funniest thing you've seen on television.
It's like a little throwback to that one with the weird snake turds. What was that one called?
I know which one you're talking about, and I can't think of what it's called.
Image of the Finn Doll. Yes. Similar concept there. The doctor is offering to help and stuff, and Tremus like is like, sure, yeah, let's figure this out together, and everybody else is suspicious, but Tremus is like, they're under my protection now. I own them. They're my boys, the doctor and Adric. You can't have them. But with this, if something they do something bad, then Tremus will also be punished for it, basically.
Correct.
Because now they're all in it together. Buds for life.
All in this together. No?
I don't know what that is.
High School Musical?
I've never seen High School Musical.
What?
I've only seen High School Musical 2, and I didn't follow along with any of the narrative threads that have been left from the first High School Musical.
How many High School Musicals are there?
3, and then an ongoing series soon to launch on the platform you're part of.
Oh, shit.
Disney Plus.
I mean, yes, I knew that. See?
Cross promotion synergy, Joe.
That's my way of bringing it up. I laid it out as a question so that we could have it develop naturally in the podcast
organic
for our corporate overlords. That's what it says to refer to them as. I'm not sure if we're supposed to do that publicly, though. I should have read the contract closer. But it's so thick.
Ew.
Melkor shoots a Foster on his way back to the Grove. I think he shoots multiple ones. And then Cassia just proceeds to hide the bodies. Just drags them out of the way. And then there's a scene that Tony enjoys where, I'm sure she does, the Doctor, Adric, and Tremus have some breakfast.
It is
just
always
sit around
good.
Eating. Why do you like that so much?
I don't know.
You just like breakfast.
I do just like food. I do just enjoy watching other people eat. But also it's just like a small moment where people get to just like talk and hang out and they don't have to be doing like plot stuff.
Yeah,
they can just be people for a minute.
Generally, when they are eating, though, they are doing plot stuff.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
We're doing some exposition. But Nyssa also shows up. Nyssa, by the way, I don't think we've said, is Tremus's daughter and Cassia's stepdaughter. She shows up after tending to Melkor and says that she didn't see a TARDIS in the garden, in the grove. So they're like, well, we're going to go look into it, but you and Adric stay behind and develop as characters. But then Cassia talks to Melkor and worried that Tremus has been named to be the next keeper. And that's when he says, what's in a name? You could be the next keeper. And then I was very angry.
That's the wrong time to be angry. You're angry too soon. Be angry much, much later. I will let you know the exact moment at which your anger is justified.
All right. Then we have Nyssa showing Adric science. She's showing him like some techno nonsense.
The source.
I don't think she's showing him the source yet.
But she's showing him some. He's like, I didn't know you guys had so much like advanced technology. She's like, we have to because we have the source bullshit.
And he does some like math because that's his thing. Gets some interesting readings that he's going to take to the doctor. Then Cassia tries to talk to the council to try to get Tremus kicked out of being a keeper so that he won't leave her, I guess. But it backfires because they're like, well, she's like, we need him to do the rapport with the keeper. And then it backfires because Saren, who's this other guy, was like, I told him to do this stuff. Because like she says, he knew stuff. Tremus knew stuff that he wasn't telling us about those like readings that were off the chart. And like, he didn't tell us about that. He must be bad and he can't be the keeper if he's bad. And Saren's like, I told him not to tell anybody, so I have to do the rapport. And then she's like, ah, well, shit, I guess. Her plan sort of failed. Then Melkor gives Cassia a nice new necklace.
Yeah.
A metal necklace.
A big collar that she just puts on.
I believe when we were watching it, Chris Cherry said, this is definitely a kink thing.
My issue with that collar is how she just puts it on as a collar. It doesn't look like it, anything. Like, I have this image of her putting it around her neck, and, you know, the Melkor just goes, actually, it's for your... It's a belt, but, all right, no, that's good too. It's a good look. It's a great, you're good. You're set. Fine. Put it there, I guess. Oh, now it's red. Oh.
It's not very well designed. It's just like,
no, it looks gray. Very flimsy too.
Yeah, it looks like they're like, oh shit, we forgot to make this. And this is the first time that we see inside the Melkor's body. We see someone watching this on a monitor.
See, this is when I thought you would put it together.
Yeah, and I didn't. It took me way too long to figure it out.
I even said, I was like, what was up with the master, like, last time we saw him? Was he still, like, crispy? And you were like, yeah. And I thought you would go, oh.
Well, see, I thought that this wasn't the master. I just thought it was, like, somebody that the master idiotically teamed up with.
As he so frequently does.
So I was like, oh, this must be the idiot he's, like, in cahoots with.
But, like, you see one singular crispy hand.
Do you? I don't know if you see a hand in this shot. It's a little while. You just see her on the monitor and her being like, I don't want to work for you or whatever. And him being like,
That was spot on. You sound like an evil SpongeBob. There is later, like, you will see a hand and you did not go... Oh.
Yeah, I was still, even after they fully introduced the master, I'm like, okay, but how are they both the master? How is that gonna work?
It's a multi-master story.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. The Doctor and Tremus, though, are on their way to study the Grove. They have to go through some circuitous route because the entrance is blocked by people who are superstitious or some shit. And they actually see the tranced Cassia, but are like, I don't give a shit, and move on. Like, including her husband, by the way. Her husband seems to have, like, does not care about anything that happens to her in this whole serial. So, but yeah, then they pass by the source chamber on their way to the Grove, which is the big source manipulator thing that's really cool design. I thought that was his TARDIS. Initially.
Really?
I thought that was going to be the Master's TARDIS console, but it's not... It's just similarly designed. But they get to the Grove and they study things and they find the TARDIS. But it's just, it's not there. It's just been displaced in time or some nonsense. Then Nyssa gets rid of all the people at the gate because she's royalty or some shit. Tremus couldn't do it, but she could.
Rude about how she does it too. She's like, make these people leave. And the guy there's like, well, they have a right to be here. Like, it's lawful that they're here. And she's like, my dad makes the laws. Make them leave.
Oh, yeah. I don't, that's obviously not who Nyssa is, because that is borne out both by other things she says and does in this story, but also the person she is later on. That's very clearly a thing that she does to kind of get people the fuck away from the courtyard so that she and Adric can sneak in and make out behind a bush. Or whatever the fuck it is they were trying to do at this point, I honestly was not paying full attention.
No, that's it. That's it, exactly. They're just going to make out behind a bush.
Okay, cool.
They go to the gate, but it's locked. So Adric's like, don't worry. I'm a successful thief.
I've stolen so many melons.
So much fruit. Fruit's my specialty. Just different types of fruits. But he picks the lock and gets in. But Nyssa gets caught by somebody. And then there's a creepy shot of Adric walking through the Grove and Melkor sort of watching him.
Nothing weird about that.
The music's getting more and more intense, and then the Doctor grabs him and says, what are you doing here? And then Adric shows him the readings. And he even says the readings seem to be, like, coming from a TARDIS. And my brain's like,
that means nothing to you.
It means nothing to me. Then Sauron goes to do the rapport, and the Keeper passes judgment on him, which is, well, he does, the rapport is he gets, like, bathed in a light from the ceiling.
That seems like it hurts.
Then he's like, well, what'd you think, Keeper? How'd I do? Did I get an A? And the Keeper's like, you are blameless, but doomed and betrayed, the both of us.
And then he just leaves.
He just pieces out.
He's not very helpful.
And then Cassia's eyes close, and someone paints on some things onto them. She has these, like, red...
Here's the thing. That was absolutely a... Here's an easy way we can use the same effect that made the not-a-belt neck brace The collar, that's the word I was looking for. The collar, that thing that we use to make that turn red, we want to use the same effect but on a person's eyes. How do we do that? Contact lenses won't work. I know. We'll let her, she'll close her eyes and we'll paint eyes on her eyes.
It's that whole, like, when you're trying to sleep in church and you just paint eyeballs on your eyelids.
It's the Homer Simpson technique.
Yeah, and she shoots Saren and kills him with her eyeball things. And Tremis enters, then the consoles enter, and then Cassia says, Saren failed the rapport, and that means Tremis is also bad, and the doctor and everything. Go capture all of them. They try to run to the TARDIS to do whatever, and Melkor talks to them and is like, hey, don't go in there. Hey, maybe don't go in there.
Consider not doing that.
And then Cassia shows up and shoots Tremis with her eye things. Then they all get caught in a needlessly electronic net. Like, the net falls over the top of them, and then there's just some, like, digital effects overlaid on top of it.
Specifically, too, there's a guy with, like, a very big remote control and a button.
Yeah.
And he hits the button.
I turned the net on, you guys! Don't worry, they're captured. And then Cassia's goes over to Melkor and is like, well, it's all over. And then Melkor says, ah, but no, this is only episode 2.
He says it out loud.
And that is the end of episode 2. We are now into episode 3, which I have called The Master Plans.
Fair.
Nope.
I know, you already mentioned it, so.
It just upset me, you know?
I'm sorry. Well, I also at this point thought that he was the master, and these were his master plans. So the Doctor, Adric, and Tremis are all put in a cell, and they're going to be executed at some point, presumably. Cassia has to talk the console into it. Melkor, meanwhile, talks to Cassia and tells her, I want you to be the new keeper, and she's not very happy about it. But what's she going to do? She's got a necklace. Then Cassia sees Nissa spying on her and then basically just fills her in on stuff and says, oh, I captured your father. Bye. Go home.
It's weird because her motivations at the beginning of the story are, but if Tremis is made the keeper, he'll get taken away from me. And that very quickly becomes, oh, fuck. Who knows? What is my motivation? I don't know. The story needs to be propelled forwards, and I'm the only tool the author, the writer of that script has to do that. So, there's that emotional core to why she's doing what she's doing in episode 1 and a part of episode 2. And it is gone by the time we hit episode 3. By episode 3, she's doing shit because she's been told that's what she's got to do.
I think there's definitely some, like, mind control element going on.
A little bit,
that, like,
yeah.
She got into the situation based on, like, whatever it was that she wanted. And then once she was, like, under the master's control, that was that.
Yeah, but there's also some points where she's definitely on her own.
Like, she's lucid and still her decisions don't make sense.
This is very flimsy, for sure.
Yeah, it's not great.
And then she sends Nissa home, and Nissa goes home and gets a prop out of a box.
It's a good prop.
It's a blue box. I saw that and I thought, ooh, Nissa has a little blue box of her own.
Is it bigger on the inside, though? No.
Yes.
Wait, what is it that she gets? I think I'm thinking of a different thing.
A gun!
It is a type of gun. Yeah. It's a stun gun, but a gun. Everyone winds up using it at one point or another.
The Doctor uses it 5 separate times.
Yeah, he's gun happy in this one. Then the consoles choose Cassia to be the next keeper. It's like really easy for them to choose her too. One person's like, I'm too old, and the other one's like, I'm too dumb. I'm like, all right, fine, I guess it's Cassia. That's the only option left, and we killed Saren, so like, she's like, oh fuck, that was super
easy.
And she's like, all right, cool, can we all agree to execute these people? I'm like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, let's do it.
Nissa shows up at the prison. She wants to see her dad. They're like, no. And then she's like, well, what about this? Shows him the prop. And he's like, oh, we don't take bribes. Sorry. And then she's like, fine, I'll fucking shoot you. And then she fucking shoots them with the prop. And like real quick, too. She's real fast at it. She's a good shot. And then she runs to the prison and breaks them out. Also in this scene, it seems like Tom Baker either has straw hanging off of his nose or a giant booger. One of the two. I'm not sure which. What do you think?
I don't know because I didn't look at it because it grossed me out.
It's almost certainly straw, right?
It's gotta be.
So. It's gone in the next shot. Anyway, Cassia sees the unconscious guards and orders the doctor and the gang to be found. And then she goes to complain to Melkor a bit. And Melkor is like very mad at her for fucking shit up. And then punishes her a little bit. But just a little bit because he still needs her.
It's definitely a kink thing.
Yeah, it's definitely a kink thing. She's got that shock collar on. And then the doctor and Tremus are in his, like, office, and he asks for the master plans to the source manipulator. And then this is where they keep saying master plans over and over again, and making me feel like it's, like, a hint to a thing that doesn't happen. He's like, all right, I'll get the plans, which are in this really cool wall safe. I like that effect a lot.
Oh, yeah, that effect was great, yeah. I don't know whether that was just very good placement of a background layer or whether that was CSO.
Yeah, I'm not sure, because it's like, it's just the wall, and then it, part of it glows white, and then he puts his hand in it, into it, and then pulls out the plans. It was pretty seamless.
It visually looked pretty great.
They're going to the TARDIS and are surrounded by the guards and everything, and they're almost shot. But then weather happens. Just a lot of weather.
It's too much weather.
It's too windy.
Well, that means that the keeper died.
Yeah, he died. No, there's no one operating the... No one's sitting in the chair, which means no one's pressing down the don't be a big storm button. That's all the keeper really does.
He's just the world's greatest weatherman. So they need to get someone else to sit on the throne and be the new keeper.
Hold down that button.
And Cassia runs and sits on the throne. Then we finally fully reveal that Melkor is the master.
At this point, were you like, okay?
At this point, I was still very confused. I was like, is he both of them somehow? Is he maybe like running around, like leaves the doctor, and then he runs inside, and then he runs out? I don't know. Listen, anything's possible. It's Doctor Who. So the doctor runs in as Cassia sits on the thing, and they're like fiddling with buttons, and he's like, stop the transition. And they're like, it's too late. He's like, oh shoot. And then Cassia turns into a special effect, and then that special, it looks like a green flame, and then that turns into Melkor.
You're gonna see that visual effect again in 4, 5, 6 episodes time. When you watch the last episode of Logopolis, you'll see this visual effect and you go, oh yeah, Ben said that's what that was. And you'll mention it on this podcast and you'll be like, thanks, Ben.
I'll be sure to thank you when we get to it.
And then you will PayPal me $27.
We'll see about that. 27 cents, he said? Can do.
27 full American dollars.
When the flame turns into Melkor, you fucking hear the TARDIS sound effect, and I didn't even register it.
They're not subtle about it.
No.
I know. I was just like, well, that's a dumb... I can't believe they just used the TARDIS sound effect.
Just reused that music, too.
They could have used a different sound effect.
You're just like, geez, guys, get a new sound, am I right?
Exactly. I'm like, why would they use that sound effect? Why wouldn't they use something else? And that is the end of episode 3. Joe's an idiot.
God, you really were watching... You were on a different plane of existence watching this, weren't you?
I fucking was. Because I was just bound and determined to make this master thing make sense. But I couldn't pay attention to the fucking thing that was actually very clearly happening. Okay, so that's the end of episode 3. We're now into episode 4, the last one, which I have called... One Ring to Prime Them.
I'm going to call this the keep away of Trekken.
I almost called it that at one point. I was trying to think of a keep away joke at some point.
And I did it.
You did it. I'm it's proud of
definitely...
you.
I did it. And you know why?
Why?
Because I'm not a quitter, Joe.
I
don't give up.
I am the exact opposite. Good luck finishing this podcast.
Oh, fuck me.
Go for it. I'm done. I quit.
Finally, Tony, this is exactly what we wanted, our own Doctor Who podcast.
Anyway, so then...
I'm enjoying this.
I haven't even started yet.
I know, but it's fun to watch.
The Melkor just starts ordering people around, because he's on the throne and he can.
Yeah, but he's super chill and nice about it.
Yeah, a little bit. He's like, I don't... Because he's talking about trying to decide what he's going to do with the doctor, and he's like, I don't know if I want to start my rule with bloodshed. But maybe. We'll see. Just put him away for a little bit while I make up my mind.
Put him in the microwave, and I'll reheat him when I'm ready.
Yeah, that's essentially what happens.
Stick him on a low heat and let him simmer.
Go ahead and read my next note, because...
Joe has officially left the podcast.
Edric pieces together that Melker pops around the TARDIS.
Like the TARDIS.
Oh, and I feel like an idiot.
Yeah.
That's Joe's note. That's when you put it together?
When Adric put it together is when I put it together.
Oh no, when you're on the same page as Adric, that's a bad sign, my dude.
I know.
At least you know.
Because Nyssa says, like, how does he get around like that? And Adric's like, well, we do it in the TARDIS. It's just like the TARDIS. And he's like, just like the TARDIS.
Except
and
I was it's like, also oh. just like the thing. It's just like the Keeper can do it.
Yeah, that's true.
But also, I like the part where Adric looks at the camera and goes, oh, hi now, why not, man? And then just kind of, you know, rushes to Bedford Falls. I don't know where I was going with this bit. I thought it'd be fun.
This is what happens when I leave the podcast.
Joe, can you come back, please? We need you. You're the glue holding this podcast together.
I'm structure. That's what I am.
Are you your structure? Your structure? Are you in fact structure?
I'm like a foundation.
Is that what you are?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, which
I
is
have
it?
Nothing on the inside, but I'm a good solid base.
But you're just empty.
I feel it every day. Hollow, empty.
I mean, I don't have time to break that down for you and do the podcast.
This is just a therapy podcast now. Let's do that. Can we all just help each other out mentally? And
no.
Okay. So, let's see. The Doctor and Tremus look over the master plans.
The master plans?
The master plans. And still at this point, I was like, he's the master. They talk about each of the consoles have a ring. They have 5 rings. And they can use the rings to do something with the source manipulator. It's like based... It's
summon
like
Captain Planet.
They can manipulate the source, clearly.
And it's based on a prime number? But like the keys help you figure out... It
prime
does
number
something.
Is like a password. Because there are, yeah. Prime numbers are like unique things. And there's only so many of them.
And it's like based on that, but like they need all 5 rings to figure it out. It's like a decoder thing. But the Doctor's like, if we can get just one, I'm smart. I'll figure it out. So then Melkor sends a character we haven't even mentioned once, who's been in it since episode 1. What's his name? Proctor Neiman?
Sure. That sounds like a name.
He's like the head guy. Proctor Neiman, it's a good name. But it also sounds like an advertising company. Or like a medical company, maybe. But Proctor Neiman, he's becomes like Melkor's henchman. He sends Neiman to get the plans from the Doctor and Tremus. And then he can't get them. And then Melkor just shows up physically. Again with the TARDIS sound effect. And again, I still haven't fully pieced together that Melkor is a TARDIS. Not fully 100%. I'm like 50% of the way there. He's like, give me them plans. And Tremus is like, no. And Melkor's like, fine, I'll shoot you. And he shoots him with his little eye beams. And he's like, all right, fine, I'll give you the plans. Calm down. Holds up the plans, and then Melkor shoots the plans with his eyes, and the plans just disintegrate and are destroyed. And he's like, ha-ha! Bye! And then he goes back to his throne room. And then the Doctor gets all the guards together and is like, hey, do you guys like Three Stooges?
He's like, move it, knuckleheads! Clunk!
And he says, what is it, 2 heads are better than 1? I think 3 heads are... Or 1 head is better than 3.
This is the point. I am not kidding. So there are several points that when I was watching it, my girlfriend Mandy was also watching it, reading a book and also kind of occasionally looking up. And the 3 bits that she found the most amusing. Firstly, Tom Baker's face in the opening titles. She said it's the face that the face you see when a guy in a social group says, "Oh, don't I get a hug?" and then move in for the hug.
That is the face. She's right.
And I said it looks like the, like, wide, straight line, like, awkward grinning, smiling, like, bare teeth emoji. And I said, if you play it in reverse, I want to make a gif of that playing in reverse. And I want the caption to be, when a friend you thought was cool says something racist or offensive at a social gathering, and just have it, like, his face, and then it kind of turns into stars and backs away. That's... So there was that. There was the eyes thing, which was absolutely hilarious. And then there's the really lame, like, one head is better than 3, clonk. Like, because he just pushes them and they go down. Like, even by BBC Doctor Who violence standards, it's ridiculous.
Who?
Who? BBC?
ABC. Sorry, my apologies.
Now you've fallen prey to it.
See, I make the same mistake. And here's the thing, it's a force of habit. You hear it said so many times, you pick up on it, you start saying it, and you need to try better. You need to try harder. We all do.
Are we sure this isn't a therapy podcast?
It's always been a therapy podcast. We've never released any of these episodes, Joe. This has purely been about helping you. You're in a coma. If you can hear this, we're trying to reach you.
Nah, I'm just going to go back into it. Where were we?
He just gave up on the bit like, uh-oh. Oh, it's too real for me. What if I am in a coma?
I just want to stay in denial. That's my plan.
Cool.
If you wake up from the coma, you might have to do, like, chores.
Oh, shit. Also, yeah, if this isn't real, and you've just confirmed this, and I'm still here, I can do whatever the fuck I want. Right? With no consequences.
No.
You're a poop head. Oh, I feel bad about that. I'm sorry. Anyway, back to the podcast. He's clonked all their heads together.
Doink!
They had Tremis's ring. So he gets the ring. They head to the throne to fiddle with stuff. Meanwhile, Adric and Nyssa have been, I don't know, MacGyvering together some sort of what's-it device. And it's just like a big globe thing on top of some ring.
That's the thing that I was thinking of.
It's a big round thing.
It looks like the little droids that Peridot has when she's like first introduced in Steven Universe. That's what it made me think of.
It looks like something you would buy in a kit and like to help kids learn how to like program robots.
It does.
So then the Doctor and Tremis start working on the security system that's around the throne room, which the throne, by the way, is in like this glass enclosure. While they're doing that, Melkor shows up and starts throwing more weather at them. He just lifts up from his seat just a little bit, and then the wind hits them. So they can't get to the device, or can't get to the security system. But meanwhile, Adric and Nyssa have hooked up their thing that they've put together to the source manipulator thing, which is in a different room.
It's a bull!
Melkor hypnotizes Tremis and makes him shoot Neiman, the guard guy.
Oh yeah, it's like, oh yeah, so now you're mine, you're hypnotized, just take his gun and shoot the good dude. Boom, he does it without even looking, which is stone cold. That says to me, Tremis always kind of wanted to shoot the guy. Like, that's where my brain went with that.
I mean, he was kind of like a weaselly little dude, so...
Proctor Gamble or whatever his name was, am I the only one who thinks that he looks a little bit like the one guy from Princess Bride? I think it's the hair. The villain. The guy with six fingers or whatever. The hair is doing all of the heavy lifting there for me, I think. But my brain immediately went, Princess Bride.
Yeah, I can see that. Christopher Guest. Count Rugen.
Yes, thank you.
If you haven't read As You Wish, by the way, it's real good. I'm halfway through it. It's fantastic. I've learned so much about Andre the Giant. Now, I just want to watch The Princess Bride again. It's like a perfect movie.
Do a podcast where you watch The Princess Bride every week for 52 weeks and call it the best idea of all time.
And then every third episode, I just reread the book.
That's the bonus.
Yeah. Melkor hypnotized Tremis and he made him shoot Neiman. And then he makes him almost shoot himself. Very frightening. But then, like, the gun just flies out of his hand. And also the Dotner... The Dotner?
The Dotner.
Character we forgot to mention.
Dotneroo! It's a type of Australian land mammal.
Because this is an Australian show, obviously. But the Doctor is also hypnotized. And he gets pulled into the throne area. And then they both disappear. The Melkor and the Doctor. And then the Doctor meets... The Master.
The Crispy Master, who we last seen in The Deadly Assassin, although he was played by a different actor.
This one is Jeffrey Beaver, which is a great name, because both Jeffrey and Beaver, neither one of them are spelled the way you think they would be.
Another fun fact about Jeffrey Beaver. Jeffrey Beaver made its premiere on Nickelodeon in the United States on April 19th, 1997, and ended on June 11th, 2001.
Wow, did it really last till 2001?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Jeffrey Beaver also featured the voice of Nick Bakey, or Bakay, as Norb.
So, and it's still at this point, when the Doctor's meeting Crispy Master, maybe at this point I was like, I guess Tremis isn't the Master? Maybe?
He's not. He's very clearly not, and you're an idiot and a fool and a charlatan for thinking he could be.
Yeah, that's fair. And then the Master freezes him. Well, it doesn't actually freeze him, he's just like, the ship is now... attuned to my motions, and if anything else moves, it'll get exploded. So don't move a muscle, Doctor. And the Doctor just freezes in place, though he is kind of wobbly. The Doctor makes some quip about a library. I don't remember what, but then the...
He's asking him if his TARDIS has a library.
And then he's like, yeah, I've got a library, and I'm gonna put your mind into my library, and then I'm gonna take your body, and it's gonna be my body, and it's gonna be sweet. I've always wanted to be inside you, Doctor.
He does more or less say that. My favorite thing was before the Doctor is inside the Master's TARDIS, and you hear the Master say, but your body has other uses, and both me and Mandy looked at each other like, yeah, oh, absolutely. /Fic City.
I think Joe turned to me and said, I've read that fanfic.
We all have. Some of us wrote that fanfic.
Write in to guess which one of us wrote that fanfic.
We all did. It was kind of a round robin, kind of a pseudonym situation.
It was like an Exquisite Corpse sort of deal.
Yeah, and we're going to kickstart a book. And
I just recently successfully kickstarted a book.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Did you?
Oh, I did.
What a shocking coincidence.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
And so many people are going to read my writings.
So many people are going to put your book on their shelf.
And never touch it again.
Like I did with Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, because that's not a book for reading, that's a book for having. You don't read that book. Pride and Prejudice and Zombies was just such a disappointing book. The end. I'm glad we had this talk.
But then Adric's device starts working, whatever he plugged into the Source Manipulator. It was like supposed to be like whoever is trying to get power from the Source Manipulator, it'll just fuck them up. And so the Master...
It'll fuck their shit right up.
So the Master is getting that, and then he starts screaming because things are going poorly and badly. And then the whole, like, interior of his TARDIS catches on fire, and the Doctor jumps through a glass wall? I'm not sure what that was exactly.
We interpreted that as they forgot to build another door on that side of the set, so he just kind of Marilyn Monroe-bots his way out.
And then the Doctor is yelling the numbers at Adric as, like, wind.
Yeah. Do you guys remember the numbers?
335?
337.
Damn it.
So close.
337. Yeah, it's a prime number. It couldn't be 335.
Yeah, dummy.
So yes, 337. And Adric gets a couple of them in, and then he gets blown away, and the Doctor has to fight the winds, and he puts in the last one, and then everything's fine, except there's a limited time to get a new keeper in there. So the dumb guy jumps into the seat, Luvik, and he's the new keeper. And Tremus is like, what happened? And like, yeah, you just missed it.
Sucks to be you!
He's like, didn't want it anyway. Also, should I be sad that my wife died? So then the Doctor and Adric are like, well, we're done. Bye! Peace out. And they leave. And the dumbest joke in Doctor Who history potentially happens in this scene, as the Doctor and Adric are getting in the TARDIS and they're heading out. And they're talking about TARDISes and stuff. Doctor says, he's like, why didn't you do this thing to the TARDIS? And the Doctor says, well, this type's not really my 40.
That joke's just for people who have been watching for 1,000 years.
It doesn't even really, 40 doesn't really sound like forte. It's just real bad. It's real bad. It's a real groaner, as the kids say.
What kids say that?
My kids.
I'm kids?
Sorry that I've brought this onto you in this way. I should have told you
secret
sooner.
Secret children?
It's called a secret family, Tony.
So, yeah. Sorry you had to find out this way, but...
How many secret kids do you have?
How many do you think? Because I can guarantee you it's more.
Wow.
More than 12?
Every single guest we've had on this podcast... My child. Which really makes some of the romantic tension in the podcast really creepy.
Yeah, but that's all on you.
Yeah. I like making it creepy.
We know.
Let's just end this, shall we?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Yes.
That's the end of the that's the end of the episode.
That's the end of the entire podcast. We did it.
Nothing else happens in the serial, I don't think. Oh, wait. Tremus touches a clock.
Oh, yeah. Tremus touches a clock. And then that's the end of it. Yeah, it's weird. It just kind of stops right there.
It's the same clock from Deadly Assassin, right? I guess? Or suppose it's supposed to be. Actually, the cloak that the Master wears, I believe, is the exact same cloak that was used in Deadly Assassin. But the mask had deteriorated too much to use, so they did makeup. But I don't know if the clock's the same clock, but it is a very similar clock I don't know why he went and touched the clock in the first place.
Like, literally, he's like, hang on, I'm gonna go touch this clock, and then I'll be up in a minute.
Yeah, that's almost exactly what he says.
It's daylight savings time. That's a joke that would make sense if I was putting up this podcast right this minute.
But you're not.
But I'm not. Today is daylight savings time. Or the other one. I don't know. There's two of them, and I can never keep them straight. Anyway, yeah.
What do you mean the other one?
Isn't there, is it starts and ends, I guess. Does the other one not have a name?
What are you asking me?
You mean normal linear time?
Well, I mean, like, it's...
Just time?
It jumps forward once, and it jumps back once. Do they not have separate names?
No!
No, there's daylight savings, and then the other one is just how clocks work.
I'm not very bright, you guys.
I did not want to be the one to say it.
Did you know that this guy's the master? This is the final revelation here, is that he touches the clock opens, and then the master steps out and is like, you're mine now, and then, like, merges with him, and then loses his beard, and he's the master now.
Beautiful.
And then he gets in his TARDIS, and TARDIS is out, and Nissa shows up and, like, hey, wasn't I supposed to do something?
Yeah, I'm in this, right?
Am I not supposed to be in the next one? What's happening? So the master's her dad?
No.
I mean, kind of. Like, her dad looks like the master looks like her dad, but with a shave and a new haircut.
No, really.
I mean,
it's the same face.
The master takes her dad's body. That doesn't mean the master is her dad.
No, but it looks like her dad. Is she, like, weirded out by that at all? Is she like, oh, hey.
I don't know. You're gonna have to tune in to find out.
Alright, so that's the end of The Keeper of Trakken. We're gonna take a quick break, and then we'll be back for final thoughts.
Okay.
Hey, Geekazoids. The Metal Geeks Podcast is your source for all things geeky from the perspective of a couple of metalheads.
And me, George.
That's right, and George. This is Carrie the Metal Geek along with
Brutal Dave
and George Tripsis.
Join us as we wax philosophical about our favorite subjects.
Yeah, like what?
Movies.
And TV shows.
Video games.
Comics.
Theme parks.
And heavy metal.
Join us on each episode as we discuss special topics.
George hates metal.
And find out what's tickling our little geeks.
And much more.
Come listen to us as we audibly age in your ear holes.
You can find us on the social medias at Metal Geeks and visit us on our website at MetalGeeksPodcast.com.
Keep it metal.
Keep it geeky.
And me, George!
And we're back. Tony, do you know what time it is?
7:47.
It's a great joke.
What do we do at this time in the podcast?
I was wanting to make a joke about daylight savings time and the alternative to daylight savings time, whatever that is.
Daylight earnings time.
Daylight spending time.
There you go.
We've been saving up our time.
To spend
it. I'm ready to spend it.
Yeah, that logic's out. What do we do in the podcast, though?
We do final thoughts.
Okay.
Final thoughts! My final thoughts are The Keeper of Trakken tries to do a lot. Some of it is successful. Quite a lot of it isn't. But it's never boring. Like, I think that episode 3 is the point where it feels the least interesting, but I don't think The Keeper of Trakken is ever boring. It is internally consistent. It is the last dying embers of Tom Baker's interest in being in Doctor Who. He's very clearly no longer, like, he spent most of the season not wanting to do the show, like, and that was in part because the production team were actively trying to push him out. They were trying to make the environment such that he would not want to continue doing the show. And it worked. And you can kind of see it. He's not enjoying himself. He's not getting to be kind of the Doctor that we have watched be kind of a cocky, central, domineering figure on the show for the last, you know, like 5-6 seasons. And that shows throughout Baker's last season. And it kind of comes to a head in Keeper of Trakken.
Yeah, I had a fun time watching this one. I think when we were live streaming it, I don't remember who said it, but they said it was Shakespearean space politics is the phrase that came up, which I was like, yeah, it's silly nonsense and I'm loving it and it's good.
That's absolutely fair. Mandy said something very similar. She had mentioned that this is something modern Doctor Who doesn't do often enough, where they just kind of raid the BBC's wardrobe department and set department to make something that, you know, make space Shakespeare people.
Yeah, we absolutely need more space Shakespeare.
Shakespeare. Space Spear.
Space Spear. I think, like, to me, probably the aesthetics of, like, this serial was probably more fun than any, like, particular ideas in it. Like, it was doing stuff, and it was fun to watch, and like you said, I was never bored. But, like, when we, like, sat down to talk about what happened in it, I was like, oh, really? Not much, I guess. I mean, you have Nyssa, who you're introducing, and you have the Master, who's coming back. And so, like, I've heard of this episode, and I knew that those were things that happened in it. And so I knew it was, like, an important one in that way. But really, it's not. Like, much to your annoyance, it's the end of the episode where they're like, oh, yeah, the Master's back. This guy's the Master. Okay, bye. One thing that I wanted to talk about and didn't get to, and it's just that I really like Nyssa's hair and her stepmom's hair. But, like, the big, poofy curls, very cute. Liked it a lot.
Cassia's last name, not mentioned, but it is in the script, is Keyboard.
Sure, I believe that.
Seamus Keyboard? Or is this her, like, maiden name?
I believe she... on Trakan, you don't take your partner's last name when you marry.
Gotcha. What's Seamus' last name?
Streamus. Seamus Streamus. He was very popular on Twitch.
So is that your final thoughts?
Yeah, those are my final thoughts.
Yeah, I had an interesting experience with this one, to say the least, because my expectations were out of whack with what actually happened.
You wouldn't let go of it for anything.
I wouldn't either. The whole time I was just trying to figure it out. And it's honestly not a very, like, complicated thing. He's just not the Master.
Yet.
And my brain would not let go of that. And I actually liked the character. But I was like, but when's he gonna flip? When's it gonna happen? And it's not doing that. It's not interested in doing that. So, but I liked the serial. I liked Nyssa, though. I feel like there's not a whole lot to her yet, I guess. I liked the one scene where she breaks them out of the jail. I thought that was, like, a really good scene for her.
I will say, the little bit of stuff she does get to do, you're like, yeah, she's gonna be good.
There's definitely potential there, so I'm excited to see more of it. It feels so weird that we're, like, so close to Tom Baker being gone, so it's...
It's nearly it. You've got one more story left.
I was kind of hoping we would get, like, I don't know, a Planet of the Spiders car chase type of thing, but for Tom Baker, but I don't know if we're going to get that. You know, just him doing the greatest hits, basically. But
What would that look like for Tom Baker?
It would just be Tom Baker by himself talking to the audience.
Grinning like a madman.
Yeah, because that's what Tom Baker likes. He likes it being the Tom Baker show. But you said, they've been trying to sort of... I feel like they've been trying to make it less the Tom Baker show and more Doctor Who, so he doesn't get to do that as often. And that's kind of sad that, like, it ends with... It's ending with him being less interested in it. I would have liked him to go out on top. But that's also, like, a thing we've been like, this has been going on for so long.
We've been ready to get out of the Fourth Doctor's era because you can tell that, like, the people making it just aren't interested in the show that it is right now, which makes it not as fun to watch.
But it does feel like we're transitioning into some new stuff. Like, the past few serials have been really good, and they've been, like, doing different stuff. It feels like they're approaching the show slightly differently. A little more interested in continuity. A little more interested in trying new things. So I hope that energy continues a little bit. I know I'm worried about it because I know they had, like, two directors that were like, I'm going to do interesting visuals and stuff. And they were both, like, fired because it was too expensive. And I think one of those super worked and one of those super didn't. But yeah, I don't know. I'm excited about the future of the podcast. And I'm a little sad to see Tom Baker go, but I also think it's time.
Yeah, I mean, 7 years, he's the longest running actor to play the role concurrently on screen. I mean, Paul McGann clearly has him beat by 2 years, I think. But Paul McGann also only did the one on-screen story and then a bunch of audios, but it took him a while before he started doing the audios. And even then, even if we go from when he first started doing the audios in, I think, 2001, if you add that time together, he only did it for 4 or 5 years. Baker is the Doctor with the longest run in the classic series. He's the one who did the most number of serials, certainly put in the most number of hours, I think, on screen, certainly in the color period of the show. There's with when it comes to black and white, because they were basically producing an episode a week for most of the year, that might be different. But even modern Doctors, you know, have trouble kind of competing with the amount of screen time that Tom Baker consistently put, you know, into the role.
I think this has, like, been a real great era.
Oh, yeah.
Tom Baker has been great.
I feel like, because lately on the podcast, I feel like we've been kind of down on it, because we've been talking about how the show feels kind of stale, but, like, there's a reason why, like, for a lot of people, the Fourth Doctor is, like, the definitive Doctor.
Part of that is because he was just, he was ubiquitous as the Doctor. He was, for the majority of a decade, like, 7 years as the Doctor. That is as long as Star Trek The Next Generation was on the air. That is as long as Buffy the Vampire Slayer was on the air. That is how long Tom Baker's run as the Doctor was. It was a show in its own right, and the show noticeably changes once he's no longer, like, the Peter Davison run of the show, Colin Baker, Sylvester McCoy, those feel like distinctly different shows compared to the show that Tom Baker was in, even with all of the different producers and script editors that worked on the show during Tom Baker's run.
And I think that's the thing. That's sort of what I've been missing for a little while, is I feel like Doctor Who is a show about change. It changes all the time, so I feel like we haven't had a super big change in quite a while, other than, you know, the various showrunners that we've sort of jumped around with, like Hinchcliffe to the comedy guy Graham Williams and stuff like that. But I'm looking forward to, like, an overhaul, because, like, that's what keeps me interested in Doctor Who, is it's constantly changing, and it feels like we've been in a similar style for a while now. So, but that's it. Before we go, is there anything you would like to plug?
As usual, please check out The Game of Rassilon. You can go to thegameofrassilon.com or adventuresintimeand.space or thedeath.zone, depending on whether you're feeling maudlin. It is a Doctor Who role-playing game actual play podcast. Our first season is up to listen to. We have 19 episodes, and then we did 3 making of episodes where we talked about creating our characters and running the game and so on. We just recorded our first serial for season 2. That will start dropping in January. We have some pretty cool guest stars. I think we will have announced it by now. Our first guest star for our first serial, playing a one-off character for the first 3 episodes, is David Blue, who was in Stargate Universe.
Ooh. Cool.
I hope we've announced it by now, otherwise you guys just got an exclusive.
Ooh, exclusive!
Probably not, but yeah, we're hard at work on the second season. We're very, very excited. And it's basically, we're using the Doctor Who role-playing game to tell new Doctor Who adventures using a tabletop role-playing game framework. So it's kind of fan fiction, fan audio adjacent. Speaking of fan audio, I'd also like to plug, there is a series of unofficial 12th Doctor audio adventures, which I think are just called the 12th Doctor adventures. Those can be found on, just Google those. Those are really, really well produced there. Peter Capaldi, sound alike, is shockingly good. And I might be making a couple of guest appearances in their second season.
Nice.
I think I'm in their first season.
Cool. You probably are.
I forget which one I was in. I played a Veil Messenger. I had one line right at the end. I get to name drop the Doctor.
I'm playing 2 characters at least, and I won't say any more about who they are, because I don't want to spoil anything. I'm reading scripts, and I'm very excited.
Yeah, I think I saw, like, a casting call, like, shared by Script Scribbles.
Yeah.
And then that's where I saw it, and I was like, hey, I can do some stuff. Hey, we were in a project together, and we didn't even know it.
Yay!
Anything else, or are those your plugs?
Anything else you want to find out about me, you can find out at benpadden.net. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Ben Padden. Facebook as well, although I don't really do a lot on Facebook anymore. I occasionally do stand-up in the Los Angeles area, so if you want to find out about shows I might be doing if you're in LA, check me out on Twitter, because I plug the stuff I'm doing mercilessly. That's probably it.
Do you want to plug your thing?
Yeah, if you've got a Roku, get the Heartland Network channel and watch The Unseen World. I put a lot of work into it. I'm working on season 2 now. We have gone to some really cool places, stuff that I'm really excited to get edited and to share with everybody. Okay. Oh man, I can't wait to get the Pasquan package edited, and I've got probably half of the season in the can, and half of it that I'm still in production on and working on getting it filmed. But check it out. Check it out on the Roku. Check it out on
Heartland Network.
You can stream it on the Heartland Network's website.
Watch Heartland TV.
Yep, that's it. Watch Heartland TV.
Dot com.
You can stream it online there and see Unseen World on all of our social media. I'm trying to use it more. Sometimes our Instagram will have pictures from locations like day of shooting, and so you can get a heads up of what will be on season two. Land of Oz, Museum of Wonder are both places I've shared pictures with, like day of.
It's a really cool show, and I'm very proud of you, and I love you.
You should be proud.
If you like this episode of the podcast, check out more on WatchYourAssalon.com and be sure to rate and comment on our iTunes. It does iTunes magic.
The more you rate us on iTunes, the more iTunes shows us to other people, and then the more people might actually listen to us.
If you'd like to help us out even more, you can go to WatchYourAssalon.com/support, and there you will find a link to our Patreon page, which you can get to just by going to patreon.com/watchathon. And there you can donate a monthly amount to get all kinds of rewards, like day early episodes, uncut video of the podcast records, bonus episodes, access to our Discord server, and live streams where we watch the episodes with you guys. Also on our support page is a link to our Amazon wishlist where you can sponsor an episode of the podcast by purchasing the corresponding serial on DVD for us, or Blu-ray now. We'll mention you on the podcast and put your name on our Friends of Rassilon page. Speaking of, special thanks again to actual radio pirate Steve Conway for sponsoring this episode.
Thanks, Steve.
You can check him out on 8radio.com. Also want to give a special shout out to Vincent EL for providing us with our theme song.
Thanks, Vince.
And check out more of their music at vincentel.bandcamp.com. And tune in next time when we talk about the final Tom Baker serial, Logopolis.
Sorry, it's actually pronounced Logopolis.
I thought it was Logopolis.
Well, the original creator of the file format said it's pronounced Logopolis.
I will go with that then, because I do say GIF.
I say GIF, but I don't have a justification for it.
You don't have a justification?
Yeah, that's just how I'm living my life.
But we will have returning guest Brian Snape of Harry Sullivan is an Imbecile, and Ashley Rayburn.
I know both of them.
Yeah, they've never been on a podcast together. We'll see how that goes. Maybe they'll love each other or hate each other.
We can make them fight.
Ooh, that'd be fun. Let's end the Tom Baker era with a fight. So, guys, if you're listening, please fight. And until next time, keep calm and wrestle on.
Goodbye, and I love you in a platonic, parasocial way.
Goodbye to your friend on the internet.
Who the hell is that?
It is me, the podcast demon. I only show up at the end of very good podcasts.
Then why are you here?
I took a wrong turn at Nightvale. I don't know where I am.
Oh, man. It's just because everything's under that Disney Plus banner.
This is what happens when you sign a multi-platform deal.
Sing.
New body at last.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.